The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Story that I heard about a Lutheran pastor who was on an airplane on his way home from a meeting at the national headquarters. During the flight, the plane hit a patch of bad weather. And as the turbulence got worse and worse, and the plane started shaking more and more, and lightning began flashing all around, passengers became concerned. Soon, even the flight crew became alarmed. Noticing on the roster of passenger names that he had a reverend in front of his name, one of the flight attendants came to him and said, "Excuse me, but I noticed that you're a pastor. Is there anything that you can do? I mean, people are getting worried. Would you mind doing something religious?" So you want to know what happened next? He took a collection. Okay. All right. On to Jesus. He wasn't making the religious very happy either. He had just entered Jerusalem for what would be the final time. He came in, and how did he come into Jerusalem? With people being so excited, waving palm branches, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." But then he started stirring everything up. He went into the temple and promptly drove everybody out. He overturned the tables of the wealthy money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves, which were the sacrifice of the poor and were being sold at grossly inflated prices. Much like that plane ride, there was turbulence in Jerusalem. And the religious authorities were disturbed by Jesus' actions. Because the temple was not only a religious institution, it was also a financial one. It had hundreds of employees. The temple performed many different economic functions, including operating as a central bank and as a treasury. Jesus spoke words of tearing down the temple and rebuilding it in 3 days. And people were getting shaken up. Religious leaders were very concerned because he was threatening their very livelihood. Some biblical historians say that the priests and the scribes received a cut from every temple sacrifice. And they received a revenue based on the temple taxes that they collected. Sometimes priests even got into the business of lending money, and therefore were in the position to foreclose on debts that were not paid. When a husband died, the scribes, who were experts in the law, would often come and help the widow manage the estate. And what we know about that society is that that was not a woman's role at all. A woman did not take care of her own affairs. She was completely dependent upon a man. Of course, the scribes charged for those services. And of course, the temptation for things like embezzlement and abuse were very, very tempting. Jesus condemned this abuse of sacred power, this abuse of privilege. While the scribes were, as he says, devouring widows' houses, they were prancing around in long, fancy robes, receiving greetings of respect in the marketplace, sitting at seats of honor at fine dinners. They gained wealth, they gained power, and they gained prestige at the very hands of society's most vulnerable. In an almost, "see, I told you so" type of fashion, Jesus is sitting right outside the temple treasury with his disciples. And one Bible commentator said that as people gave their offerings to the temple, they would say out loud how much they were giving and where it was going to. How about that for a stewardship drive? Probably wouldn't be very popular, would it? Probably even less popular than some sort of a pledge drive. Jesus draws a sharp contrast between the many rich people who were giving much, yet still had much left, and the poor widow who gave two insignificant little coins, which was all that she had. She was poor because she was a widow. Regardless of the value of her husband's estate, to lose a husband made a woman dependent upon the compassion and the kindness of the men in her life, of her brothers-in-law, her brothers, her sons, upon whether or not they would take her in. And if there was no one, or if they wouldn't take her in, she had no place to go. She had to beg to survive. And the Greek word that's used in our gospel lesson for today indicates that this woman was the poorest of the poor. She was a widow who had to beg in order to survive. Jesus told his disciples she gave everything she had, all she had to live on. The Greek phrase is literally, she gave her whole life. Not a portion, not a tithe, not a percentage, but everything she had. Everything. We're not told why. Was it out of obligation? Respect? Demand? Was it out of her own religious convictions? Maybe she gave everything because she had no other options. Maybe she knew what many who are in poverty know, that those small coins weren't going to make a difference in her life. When you have nothing, two small coins aren't going to move you to a better place. With or without those coins, she was still dependent. Dependent on the generosity of others. She relied upon people noticing her and caring enough or feeling guilty enough that they would give something to her. She knew that she was totally dependent on God to touch the hearts and souls of those around her to give. I have always, my whole life, even the time before I was a pastor and as I've been a pastor, I've heard this story as a stewardship story. A story of sacrificial giving. A story about generosity. A story of someone who gave everything she had to God. And I think it's about that, but I think it's about more than that. There's more that today we can't miss. Because I hear sorrow in Jesus' words. A feeling of frustration. A tone of despair. How have things gone so wrong in the church. The poor are being exploited by the very ones who hold the means of grace. In the midst of showy abundance, this woman who has nothing, that nothing that she has, she gives to the temple. The giving, that generosity, is going in the wrong direction. Shouldn't the church be helping her? We don't know what happened next to this woman. I think that's the question for Jesus' followers of all time. What happens next? Although our context today is different, there are still people in need that are too easy for us to pass by or ignore. People who are dependent for a whole wide variety of reasons, whether that's mental health issues, substance abuse issues, poverty. People who depend each and every day on God to touch our hearts and our souls with generosity, simply so that they can survive. Jesus was always reaching out to those who were invisible in society, those who were discarded, those who were being ignored. He has opened our eyes to see this woman today, to see that all people are loved children of God. So what happens next? At St. Mark, we have a very unique opportunity to help a small but significant population of people who live in poverty through our Clean Kids Laundry Facilities program, to help some of the 750 homeless students in our school district. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, we're in the process of converting one of our classrooms in the education wing into a laundry facility with several washers and dryers. We have all the paperwork and drawings in, and we're waiting for the permits so that we can begin the transformation and start welcoming students and their families. We'll have a staff of people from the church and from the community to welcome families and assist them as they come to do laundry. The North Thurston School District Homeless Liaison will take care of all of the arrangements. She will decide which families come and will set up appointments so we know exactly who's coming and when. There's an organization and accountability with the school district. So why these kids? Why these kids? Because we know that the best chance that these students have at a better future is to stay in school, to get, at the very least, a high school education. Why are we doing this? Why laundry facilities? Because besides housing, this is the biggest need that this group of students has. There are no laundromats within the district boundaries. And because of some ruling, I don't know, maybe Eric can answer that better if you have more questions about that, but because of some ruling, they cannot give out vouchers to other laundromats that are outside of the district boundaries. Why our church? Why our Ed Wing? Why not? I mean, really, why not? We are easy to find. College Street. We have bus stops going both ways and a stoplight so people can safely cross the street right out in front of our building. We have the trust and a growing relationship with the North Thurston School District as a church who sincerely cares about students. We even have financial support from the North Thurston Education Foundation and the Lacey Rotary Club. Why not? Because this is a need that really can't be ignored. Christ has given us the eyes to see these children as loved children of God. So this is where I'm landing this morning with this gospel lesson. I do still believe it's a stewardship story. Maybe it's not so much about how much you or I are putting in the offering plate, although it's always a good thing to prayerfully revisit that. Perhaps this story has a lot more to do with how are you and I going to steward the very life that God has given us. How will you and I see our total dependence on God for all of who we are and all of what we have? How will we see with eyes of Christ and steward the lives of those around us, especially those most vulnerable and most in need? Jesus has opened our eyes to see the loved children of God. The question is, what happens next? What happens next? We answer that question by how we live our lives. Amen.